Greetings, and welcome to our Story Circle, a Tales of Earth production brought to you by the Fanta Corporation. Your story today is Sean and the Shadow, as written by R.J. Borton. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the story, as told by R.J. Borton.
And my wife, Rita Ann. Sean and the Shadow.
Children! Children! Settle down. It's time to get ready for bed. Not start the wizard war again.
Grandmother Rita firmly stated to her many grandchildren.
Gather around. I have a story for you.
The younglings reluctantly halted the play battle and gathered around their aged but highly respected grandmother.
Many years ago, on the Emerald Green Isle, a young man, Sean, was assisting his fisherman father, Cathal, on the beach in the warm spring morning,
recited Rita. Son,
said the father,
you have been my faithful helper for many years. You know the fishing trade as well as I, and you are young and strong and mature enough to handle it by yourself. Your mother and I have decided that it is time for you to take over the business, and for us to retire and live further inland. Take the boat yourself this day, and show us how well you have mastered it.
Saying this, Cathal stepped aside and ushered Sean onto his fishing boat. That evening, Sean returned with an overflowing boatload of fish and made himself and his parents very proud. Within the next few days, Sean's parents packed up their simple belongings, hitched their mule to their cart, and bid their fond farewells. Sean kept very busy over the next several months, repairing and tying new nets, patching and enhancing his family's heirloom boat, and catching and selling many boatloads of excellent fresh fish. Fall, then winter, came and went, and still Sean worked every day, from before the sun rose until after it set. He had everything he dreamed of, except someone to share it with. He was feeling the pangs of loneliness. In the spring, finally, he noticed that Sarah, the now-grown daughter of one of his long-standing customers, was spending a lot of extra time talking with him every week at the market. He noticed her sparkling blue eyes and soft brown hair that blew beautifully in every gentle breeze. By fall, they were betrothed, and they sealed their love on the winter solstice. The following October, their beautiful daughter Ella was born. Their life as a family was wonderful and full of joy. In late November, Sean returned from his daily fishing and discussed with Sarah his strange feeling that he was being watched, both on the shore and in his boat. The back of his head tingled, and several times he almost caught sight of a shadow lurking behind him. Within the next few days, his daily catch dwindled and then stopped. Day after day, regardless of when or where he dropped his nets, they remained empty. Soon, their family savings were gone. They were reduced to just surviving on wild berries and seaweed soup. Ugh. Hunger and frustration were the main part of their now frightening daily life. With winter's cold and the wild fruit gone for the year, something had to change fast, or they would starve. Terrified, Sarah tightly wrapped Ella in warm blankets and stalked into the dark woods north of their home. If the stories and folktales were true, a strange old crone with knowledge of the dark ways lived deep in those treacherous woods. Ooh, some folks even said she was a witch. Sarah traveled for over an hour along the ancient and heavily overgrown path. The woods grew darker. Beastly sounds burst out often, causing her to shake. Still, she pushed on. Another hour of difficult travel brought her to an opening in the dense foliage. The trees there separated to allow warm sunlight to reach the forest floor. In the center of the glade, she saw her destination. The cottage was very old, yet appeared solid. Its thatched roof was thick and unbroken. Many herbs, fruits, vegetables, and strange, unknown plants grew in odd-shaped plots around and alongside the dwelling. The cross-hatched windows were covered in dark drapes. The closed door's only ornament was a fierce-looking, tarnished brass gargoyle knocker. Clutching Ella tightly to her chest, Sarah hesitantly reached for the knocker. Before her fingers touched it, the door creaked open. Directly in front of her stood the ancient crone, more frightening than Sarah's imagination had conceived possible. The old woman's skin was deeply wrinkled. Her clothes were drab and hung loosely on her old, frail body. In stark contrast, the crone's eyes were bright and sharp. They pierced directly into Sarah's inner being. Sarah was frozen with fear. Her skin felt icy cold. Her breathing became staggered, and her heart raced. Sarah started to speak, but Bridget, the ancient woman, cut her off, saying, "I know why you're here. Come in, and let us ponder your dilemma." Her legs weak and arms shaking, Sarah entered the foreboding, ominous cottage. Later that afternoon, the cottage door finally opened, and Sarah stepped out. Bridget stood in the doorway, holding baby Ella. Bridget looked long and hard at Sarah, then kissed the giggling Ella on her forehead and returned the baby to her anxiously awaiting mother. Without further words, Sarah quickly turned and raced back to the safety of her home and her loving husband. That evening, when Sean returned, yet again with nothing but seaweed, she told him about her journey into the dark forest. He listened intently as she described the ancient crone and detailed her recommended solution. Sarah spread a little sand onto their dining table and traced circles, one within another, with her finger. She used tiny pebbles to mark very carefully positioned breaks within each of the four rings. Over and over she practiced the precise pattern with Sean until he could reproduce it exactly. When they were both satisfied that he was ready, they went to bed, finally hopeful of an end to their plight. The next morning, before the first rays of the sun kissed the ocean, Sean was on the beach collecting pebbles and shells under the moonlight. He felt the dark shadow close behind him, chilling his back. As the lowest tide rolled out and the sun crested the horizon, Sean went busily about his task. He traced a circle about 4 feet across, above the receding tide line and well below the high tide mark. He marked an opening just large enough for him to walk through with two shells and lined the rest of the circle with the pebbles, marking a second circle around the first, leaving but enough room for him to walk through. He marked an opening on this circle's edge furthest from the inner opening, positioned the shell markers, then lined the circle with pebbles as the first. Very carefully, he duplicated this process until he had a precise labyrinth of four concentric circles with opposing entrances and a single entry in the outermost ring. Finally, he made two piles of pebbles beside the shells, marking the outer entrance on the ocean side. His four-ring labyrinth was complete. Would it work? Could he fulfill his task without faltering or revealing his true, hidden intention? Sean walked the pattern from the outside to the center and back out many times, working the sand smooth with his footprints. As he paced through the labyrinth, the shadow felt closer and colder than ever. When the returning tide nearly touched the shells, marking the only entrance, Sean committed himself to the final sequence. He entered the labyrinth from the ocean side, careful not to turn around and look for the shadow, and slowly proceeded to the center. Then, without warning nor hesitation, he jumped over the labyrinth walls, landing in the ocean entrance. Quickly, he kicked the marker shells aside and closed the entrance with the two piles of stones. As soon as he jumped, the shadow, trapped to the ground, spun around and started racing through the labyrinth, seeking to recapture him. It sped around and around the inner circles. It moved so fast that the entire labyrinth appeared to darken. Sean was successful. The labyrinth was closed, trapping the shadow within its rings. He watched silently as the returning tide covered and eventually hid the labyrinth from sight. Sean felt free. His neck no longer tingled, and he no longer felt the dark, chill presence. Rushing to his boat, he cast off on his first successful fishing voyage in a long time. That night, he, Sarah, and Ella feasted on his bountiful catch. The next morning, Sean returned to find that the labyrinth had sunk, vanishing into the sand, taking the dark shadow with it. Whatever it was, wherever it came from, it was finally gone. Immediately, Sean rushed toward the ancient hut in the dark forest. It was his welcome task to pay the price for the wise woman's advice. Finding the dwelling, he toiled all day cutting wood, tending the garden, and smoothing the path. The price she had demanded was simple. In exchange for her service, he had to do something nice and beneficial for someone without being asked and without seeking nor accepting payment. He chose to give back to her and did so for many years to come. From then on, Sean, Sarah, Ella, and later the next year, baby Jack, lived happily ever after. Younglings, did you enjoy the story? By your enthusiastic response, I see that you did. Now, in exchange for my service in telling you the story, you owe me. I make of you the same demand that was made of Sarah and Sean. Tomorrow, you are tasked with doing something nice and beneficial for someone without being asked and without seeking or accepting payment. Now off to bed with you. The preceding story is a work of fiction. All names, characters, species, classes, places, things, and incidents are either the products of the author's imagination or used fictitiously. Any resemblances to fictitious or actual persons living or dead, and events or locales, real or imaginary, are entirely coincidental. This copyrighted story is the privately owned intellectual property of Tales of Aerith Publications and the Fantacorp of Bensalem, Pennsylvania, and not in or to be released to the public domain. All rights are reserved, including the right of reproduction in whole or in part in any form. No permission is granted to tell, retell, print, copy, reproduce, or distribute this story for profit by any means for any reason without the prior written consent of the Fantacorp. Please visit our website, www.venturesofearth.com, for more information.